On this week's Talking with Topher, New Year, New You, Talking with Topher t-shirts. Now, what do you think about that? It's almost impossible for you to leave your parents' house today. My sauna, my new Recover sauna, NURECOVER. And now let's get into episode 197. What is happening, TWT fans? It is so good to be back on this January 11th, 2024. And Talking with Topher is coming at you like never before. That's right. New year, new you, new me, new everybody. Here we go. I've got so much to get into, but as always, before I start, let me start off by saying thank you. Thank you to all of my subscribers. Thank you to the new subscribers. You are what keeps me coming back here week after week. If you're new to the podcast, remember to subscribe. Click that button. It's free for you to do. So why are you not doing it? Click the button. Support the podcast. And of course, remember to go ahead and copy and share that Linktree link. All right. It's the easiest way to help me make the podcast bigger. So go into the description below. Copy that. Share it with everybody you know. And of course, if you want your opportunity to be on Talking with Topher, or maybe just tell your story, TALKIN with Topher at gmail.com. That's the official email of the podcast. Remember, you can send an audio, video, or type it out, but you got to send it to the official email of the podcast, TALKIN with Topher at gmail.com. And now with all that out of the way, let's get into today's episode, shall we? It has been a crazy, crazy start of the year for me. I will put some pictures up, but I didn't decide. I had the garage redone. So I was super excited about all of it. And now that the garage is sealed, it still needs siding, but I took care of a few things that probably would let water in for the moment, and I put nothing on that side. But it's absolutely an amazing feeling when you, all right, just put it this way. You have a house, right? You have a garage, but you literally cannot use the garage as a garage. It's an overrated shed. Is the easiest way I can put it. This thing had barn doors on it. It had a dirt floor. All the walls were sliding out. It was ready to fall down and die. And I almost allowed it to happen. But, I had it rebuilt because I was just like, you know what? We need this, right? We need it. And when I had it rebuilt and restructured and fixed up, it was a feeling that I was going to be able to utilize this thing and maybe get some square footage back in my house. And for me just probably the most exciting thing in the world. I've been living here for a decade and never, ever, ever been able to utilize the garage as a garage. And now it took me, I'd have to say easily 9 to 10 hours in 2 days. So total of 18 to 20 hours total to clear out everything in my basement that was meant to be in the garage. And I have to tell you, it is a weird feeling. When you do something for so long, it just becomes like a part of your everyday, a part of what you do and how you do it. And you don't realize when you're not utilizing something for what it is, how nice it is, and also how I'm going to have to say weird when you actually are capable of utilizing what you weren't allowed to utilize before, right? So it could be anything at this point. But I put everything that was supposed to be in a garage, in the garage. And now I have an empty basement, you know, for the most part. We still have storage and stuff like that. So I'm over the moon. I can put up some before and after pictures. They'll probably be popping in and out. But, man, it is just amazing. Now there is a ton of work to do in the basement. I unfortunately found ants and bugs and dirt and, oh boy, some cracks in the concrete and just some ways for nature to get inside. And if I want to utilize the basement for an actual living space, which I'm being zoned and taxed for, but it's never been a livable area of the house. It's always been treated as a garage or a workspace or something else. And now I want to utilize it for jujitsu. I want to utilize it for my sauna and we're getting a cold plunge, which is super exciting. The cold plunge should be here today. I'm recording on Wednesday. Yeah, usually I'm at jujitsu and I'm editing, but today I had to record an episode to make sure that this thing stays on the rails, right? I can't have the podcast falling off the rails. I don't want to let any of you down that have helped support me for so long. So I'm putting in an episode, I'm editing an episode. I've got a lot going on today, but I am very, very excited to finally be working on the basement, getting it fixed, getting it cleaned up, and utilizing it. Oh, yeah, and then there's still a guest room that needs to be ripped apart. I mean, it doesn't end, everybody. All right, so I don't know if you can afford to buy a house today, and I'm sorry for laughing because I just can't get over the fact that people can't afford a house today, right? It's almost impossible for you to leave your parents' house today. But guess what? I understand that this isn't as bad, and I get that. But I can't leave my house. So you can't even get your first house, and I can't leave my first house. So we're all stuck. And you know whose fault it is? It's the boomers' fault. It's all the boomers' fault, and I'm going to get more into that when I get into Topher's topics today. But, you know, I'm over the moon right now. I feel like I really got some big stuff done in my life. A lot of things that I don't have to think about anymore. I think for most part, I got most of these bugs all worked out. I figured it out, right? The reason that my computer keeps recording in a lower grade pixelation is because now the computer that I have keeps telling me that my monitors are too low of a resolution for my graphics card. I just can't win, man. I can't get the software for the video switcher to install properly. So I'm going to have to figure that out. I just figured out why the resolution has been so screwed up in OBS. I had no idea. That's how far behind I am. I mean, this monitor behind me is not a monitor. That is an old Samsung 32-inch LED TV with a 60 refresh, and I believe it's a 1080 picture. I think my SyncMaster that I'm using for another monitor, which you would think a SyncMaster is a good monitor. It is, but it is, I mean, it's only a 920. So I'm dealing with some really old equipment, and I'm dealing with brand new stuff that's like, I don't like any of this garbage that you have hooked up. Like, these monitors are garbage is what my graphics card has been telling me. So we are working on maybe getting some new monitors and figuring that out. But I'm getting a guest on this January. I'm very excited. Things are moving forward, everybody. They are moving forward. So hopefully from here on out, I've gotten 90% of the hiccups fixed. And hopefully by the end of this month, I got the video switcher all hooked up. We'll be ready for multiple guests. We'll be ready for everything. I am just getting ready to get this podcast to the next level. And I'm excited to show you all what I can do. You know, I'm having some repeat guests on. I'm going to be having some new guests on this year. So a little bit about the podcast, you know, things are definitely moving forward, and I'm excited to finally be able to sit down and dig into all of these little things that I just have not been able to look into. I've been going through some of my old episodes. I was looking for the best of clips. Man, that is an animal to even try to put together. So I didn't. I just figured, why not keep this thing moving forward and stop thinking about the past or looking into it. But I should check out some of my old episodes, and boy, oh boy, are some of those really rough. So I do have to say that I've physically seen my progress. I do have to say, not being able to go to jiu-jitsu on the first week that they're opening, and, you know, I'm supposed to be there this morning. I couldn't do it. My whole body is aching. The massive amounts of furniture that I moved by myself, you know, I'm proud of myself for doing it, but I also shouldn't have been doing it by myself. So my body's telling me that I'm 44 and, hey, you probably shouldn't have done this, but you did it and now you're going to pay for it. But in order for me to keep this thing moving and get episodes recorded, get my commercial recorded, do everything that has to be done for this, you know, I had to miss jiu-jitsu yesterday and I had to miss jiu-jitsu this morning. I'll get there tomorrow afternoon. No big deal. We will get back on the mats and I'm excited for that. You know, new year, new you. All right. That's the title of this one. New year, new you. What are you doing? What are you doing that's new for you? What are you doing? Did you set resolutions or did you set yourself up with actual goals that you can accomplish and that will help you continue moving forward, you know, from here on out? Like I said, a resolution is a great idea. I just don't think that the amount of people that finish a resolution is high enough to keep those going. So if you have set a resolution or a goal or multiple goals like I have, I've got so many goals and they're all pretty reasonable. They're all pretty reachable and I've already accomplished four of them. So, I mean, that's what I do. I write a whole bunch of stuff down and I can't wait to put a line through it. I really can't. I mean, it is such a good fucking feeling to make a list and then put the line through those items on that list. And then look at the list at the end of 2 days and see everything crossed out. It is, God, it's a good fucking feeling. But when you are making that list and you're actually in the middle of doing it, I have to say, man, sometimes you're like, why did I even start this shit, right? Why did I start doing this? Because right now I'm getting aggravated, I'm upset, things aren't working out the way you want them to, everything takes forever. For me to put up a pegboard and two shelves took 3 hours. Now, mind you, I did have to empty them, take them down, rebuild them, and then find solid structure to attach them to. Because I found out that, like everything in this house, these things were barely hanging on the wall anyways. I mean, the thought process behind the construction that they did, mind-blowing how any of this stuff was secure, safe, or I was capable of using it, because I'm telling you, it feels like everything in this house was put together with fucking duct tape and bubble gum. But, I like to talk about all kinds of things going on in my life, and I finally finally. And thank you for getting back to me, Tony. Thank you. I'm very excited. Slowdown is going to continue sponsoring the podcast. I want to give a great big shout out to Tony and everybody over there. I want to let you all know I did talk to Tony about Talking with Topher t-shirts. Now, what do you think about that? Would you buy a Talking with Topher t-shirt? I need to know out there. Send messages, leave comments. I'm trying to get my logo on a shirt. I think there's a minimum that have to be printed. So if you would buy a Talking with Topher shirt, let me know. Because I'm trying to get them and I need to make it happen. And I think I would have to have X amount of people willing to purchase the shirts before Tony could print them for me. So I don't know if this is 100% true. I don't even know if it's going to happen, but I'm trying to make it happen. So Talking with Topher t-shirts, let me know. All right. Oh my God, everybody, my sauna, my new Recover sauna, NURECOVER. I'm going to put pictures up again. This thing is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I have been loving my sauna so much that I am religiously using it every other day. I'm staying in that thing. I couldn't make it 15 minutes on 9. Now I'm pushing 20. So the time is increasing and I'm staying in it, but I will have to tell you that it is game changer having a sauna in the house. Now it is steam. It is not vented, which I found out is actually, it dissipates and you're using distilled water. So don't have to worry about any buildup, any residue or any bacteria because you're only supposed to use distilled water. So it's amazing, absolutely amazing, to be able to come home after redoing the garage and moving everything. I got to sit in that thing, after I vacuumed and cleaned the basement up, got to sit in that thing and just admire my work and relax and meditate. And it allowed my muscles to recover. You know, after jiu-jitsu, it's amazing to jump into that thing. I am using this thing more than I ever thought I would. You ever buy something and you're like, man, I just don't use it enough? I can't stop using this. I must have almost 15 gallons of distilled water in my basement right now, which I have to find a shelving unit of some sort to put this shit on because, man, it's taking up a lot of room on the floor. So I'm going to figure out what I can do to get this stuff into a better spot and actually be able to store it better. But I have to tell you, NURECOVER, new Recover. So super pumped. Got the new cold plunge showing up today. I'll put a picture up in this video with the new cold plunge. This company takes a minute for you to get your products, right? But I do have to say that it's worth the wait. And on that note, let's take a quick break so you can hear from my sponsor. Well, it's January 2024, everybody, and Slow Down Clothing is your one-stop shop for all things tattooed-inspired art and apparel. Whether you're a hardcore tattoo lover or just appreciate edgy, unique designs, we've got something for everyone. From stylish shirts and kids' tees to eye-catching embroidered hats with images on the bill. We're here to help you express your individuality with every piece worn. At Slow Down Clothing, we understand that fashion is more than just clothing. It's a lifestyle. That's why we offer a wide range of women's leggings that are as comfortable as they are fashionable. Looking to stay warm and stylish during the coldest months? Check out our collection of jackets, sweatshirts, and sweatpants that combine artistry with comfort. But we're not just apparel. We're all about the accessories too. Need gloves for shoveling, gardening, or any other outdoor activity? Look no further. Our gloves are designed to keep your hands protected while making a statement with unique and tattooed-inspired artwork. In addition to apparel, we also offer a selection of skateboards that feature bold, eye-catching designs. And if you're all about the details, don't miss our hat, sock, pin combo, the perfect way to add a touch of personality to everyday accessories. With so much to choose from, you're sure to find something that speaks to your individual style. Remember to visit us at slowdownclothing.bigcartel.com and use the promo code TOPHER before you check out for an extra 10% off your entire purchase. Slow down, express yourself, and embrace the art of fashion with Slow Down Clothing. Oh, and I'm back, everybody. What's happening? That was a nice little break right there. I hope everybody out there goes and supports slowdownclothing.bigcartel.com. All right, and let's talk about what's going on today in this week's Topher's Topics. Oh, man, Tesla. Yeah, that's right, Tesla. So a vicious robot. A vicious robot, vicious, pinned down a worker in a Tesla factory and sunk its metal claws into his back and arm, leaving a trail of blood. Oh, man, the robots are already attacking. They're already attacking. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? The machine reportedly launched its brutal attack on Elon Musk's Gia, Texas factory near Austin in front of two horrified witnesses. The man was reportedly pinned to a wall and suffered an open wound to his hand. A trail of blood was reported left along the Tesla factory surface. A victim, the Tesla engineer, who was said to have been programming software for two other robots when he was suddenly pinned against a wall by one of the machines designed to move aluminum car parts. Oh, I mean, you can do that by yourself, right? No. He managed to walk away from the ambush. Ambush? So this robot ambushed him? I guess that would be if he abruptly pinned him against a wall and he wasn't expecting it. I guess it could be considered an ambush. Sounds a little harsh, but on his hand, it was reported revealed in 2021 incident reported filed with regulators. It said that the robot was supposed to have switched off to allow the worker to perform maintenance necessary, but wasn't. Technological website, the information reported the engineer struggled to free himself from a robot's firm grasp after another worker hit an emergency stop button. So there's an emergency stop button on these damn things? Well, I guess that's a good thing. Once free, he fell a couple of feet down a chute designed to collect scrap aluminum, leaving a trail of blood behind him. A brief entry from November 10th of 2021 in a log of work-related injuries and illnesses mentioned a laceration cut open wound to the worker's left hand, which was caused by the robot. Two witnesses provide a more detailed account of what unfolded, the factory floor, and to the information. The public reported about one in every 21 workers at Tesla's Gia, Texas factory was injured on the job in 2022 compared to the industry median rate of one in every 30 workers, according to the reports filed in the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. So, are you telling me that this robot attacked him in 2021 and this didn't happen today? I mean, this is crazy. Absolutely crazy that it happened. I don't care if it happened in 2021 or if it happened yesterday. It doesn't matter because this is our biggest fear. Is it not? That AI will take over and the robots will attack us. That's one of the fears. And if you're not fearing the technology possibly turning on us, well, then I think you are not looking at everything with open eyes, because we are building and curated the next species. Robots, AI, they are why we are here. They're why we're here. All right, and another Tesla thing. Tesla employee confirms that Optimus humanoid robot will join the Tesla assembly line. What? So you could be working right next to one of these guys here. So right now, the Optimus Gen 2 came out in December of 2023. And you can really see the evolution of this robot right here in the picture. And it looks really human. Did I see a video on this? But what I'm getting at here is that you could walk into work one day if you work at a Tesla factory, maybe the Gia one in Texas, where they moved to, and you could be standing next to a robot. No more Bill or Jan. Nope. Now it's Optimus 2023 standing next to you, doing everything perfect. And when? How long will it take before that robot turns to you and goes, you're doing it wrong? Now you're questioning your work ethic. Oh my God. Fuck off. This is an exciting time for Tesla, as it is in the infancy of so many new products and software. It's like multiple startups in one company that's already selling EVs. Elon Musk makes bold statement, predicts that in the next 5 years, if Tesla executes extremely well, the long-term value could exceed Apple and Aramco combined, a $5 trillion market cap and $1,600 share price. When will Optimus assist with manufacturing? Elon has already said that the Tesla bot will do repetitive tasks and dangerous tasks at Tesla. There are likely both of these in high number. It makes a lot of sense for Tesla to utilize its own humanoid robot in its own factories. Of course it does. Look at that thing, dude. It is so sleek. It's like out of a fucking movie. There's eventually technology singularity approaching for Tesla, where the company will most likely be run by AI and bots doing manufacturing. Humans will simply be trainers of the bots and watch to make sure everything is in working order. Holy shit. So this is crazy how hundreds of people or passengers escaped a burning Japan Airlines plane. I can only say that it was a miracle. Now, there was almost 400 people on this plane when I believe a jet crashed into it and set it on fire in an airport. All 367 passengers and 12 crew members on a Japan Airlines flight, JAL-516, managed to escape the plane before it was fully engulfed in flames after a collision on the runway at Tokyo's Haneda Airport. On Tuesday, according to Japanese Transport Minister Tiesto Saito, television footage showed an orange fireball erupting as Japan airplanes collide with a smaller Coast Guard plane while landing, and the airline spewed smoke its side as it continued to down the runway. The pilot of the Coast Guard's Bombardier-8 plane escaped, but five crew members died, Santonio said. Within 20 minutes, all passengers and crew members on the passenger jet had slid down emergency chutes to get away from the plane, the Associated Press reported. How were hundreds of passengers able to disembark the Airbus A350 without any deaths or serious injuries. Aircraft safety and features and crew training. I think that has a lot of things to come together to allow people to get off an airplane like this without dying. Robert Sunwelt, CBS News Transport Safety Analysis and former chair of National Transport Safety Board. One factor play in the Tuesday's large-scale evacuation, the crashworthiness of modern jetliners today. The interiors of the new airplane models are built to withstand fire. Some Walt said, the side of the walls don't burn as quickly as they would in previous airplanes. Wow. Wow. Look at that, dude. God damn, man. That's a Airbus. Woo. That is so crazy that they got out and that they all survived this horrific, horrific fire. New research argues that cheese is addictive in a way similar to drugs because of the chemical called casein, C-A-S-E-I-N, which is found in dairy products and can trigger the brain's opioid receptors. Nicole Ava, PhD assistant professor of pharmaceutical and systems therapeutics at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai and co-author of the study, explained the scientific significance of findings. This is a first step towards identifying specific foods and properties of food which can trigger this addictive response, she said. This could help change the way we approach obesity treatment. It may not be a simple matter of cutting back on certain foods, but rather adopting methods used to curtail smoking, drinking, and drug use. So, absolutely interesting to me, and I'm sorry for not putting it up on the screen there, but you can find the link, obviously, in the description below. But cheese has an addictive element to it, this casein, and it triggers the brain into pleasure. So when you eat cheese, it triggers the pleasures that you would normally get from, smoking a joint, drinking a beer. It's firing those same neutrons, which is why it's so enjoyable. You know, I love cheese. Cheese makes me happy. Milk has the same components to it, since cheese comes from milk. And that's why kids drink milk and become sleepy, because they calm down and they're not as rambunctious after they drink milk. And it's because of that chemical and because of the pleasure that it brings us. And then it causes us to be happy and relax and calm down, just like drugs do. Isn't that wild to think about, that something as simplistic as cheese, it could show us how to deal with our addictions? Visceral fat is a belly fat found deep within your abdominal cavity. It surrounds important organs, including your stomach, liver, and enzymes. It's different than subcutaneous fat, which is fat just below your skin. Visceral fat is actually more dangerous to your health. Diet and exercise are the best ways to prevent the buildup of visceral fat. So, visceral fat is extremely dangerous, and you should be worried about it. And now, knowing that over 4 pounds puts you in the red or the danger zone of all these problems, diabetes, health conditions, cancer, and of course, organ failure. It really opened up my eyes, and I'm hoping to open up other people's eyes. Go and watch this show. Go and check this stuff out. Be mindful of what you're putting into your body. And if you are on a journey this year to lose weight and be a better person, then let's start with fasting. That's where I like people to start. 12 hours, 14 hours, 16 hours, 18 hours. Okay. Those are your basic windows. I like to do the 5-day water fast. I have not done one in almost 2 years, but that's because I've been fighting with gaining weight, and I realized that that's not your battle, and that's fine. This is my battle, and I know I'm on the complete opposite. Oh, poor you. You can't put on weight. I get it. No one thinks that having trouble gaining weight is a problem. It's a problem for me. It's a problem for a lot of people out there. But unfortunately, the biggest problem is people trying to lose weight. And Ozempic is not the cure. Ozempic! Yeah, no! That shit's going to kill people one day. We're going to find lots of problems with that. I think everybody gives too much power to the pharmaceutical companies and not enough power to yourself to do your own investigation and your own due diligence on figuring this stuff out and seeing what works best for you. We just hear of this magical thing that Oprah's doing, and we just, oh, that'll work for me. Works for Oprah. I'm telling you right now, the vaccines were no good. Ozempic's going to be no good. Pharmaceuticals have been screwing us over for many decades, and we just keep allowing it to happen. I wish and I hope that one day pharmaceutical companies lose their advertising rights, and then let's see how well they do without these pretty goddamn commercials tricking everyone into thinking that there's a quick fix for everything. All right, and like I said earlier, the boomers are surging house prices. That's right. It's all their fault.
Can we call this a rebounding market when sales are stagnating?
Hi, Lisa. Yeah, it's a good question. And we've been describing the U.S. housing market as a tale of two markets. On one hand, you have the resale market where volumes are down more than 30% still from their peak due to greater affordability challenges and a lack of inventory. On the other hand, you've got the new home market, which has been the beneficiary of that, as that lack of inventory we spoke of is actually funneling demand in towards the builders.
Ooh, he's got double monitors.
You know, and builders are also able to leverage their financing arm.
I love that.
Buying down rates. So when you see someone in the resale market paying, you know, 7, 7.5, someone coming into the new home market is looking at 5 to 5.5. But that being said, the broader housing market, as you said, I wouldn't necessarily call it a rebound. I mean, if you look at total sales in the existing home market, which is the biggest part of the housing market and the largest source of competition for the builders, we're at about, you know, a rate of 4 million. So we're still down a long ways. I think the thing to point out is we have a situation where volumes are being depressed, but home prices are stabilizing because of that inventory situation.
Just want to pick up on what you're saying, Drew, and sort of push forward to later today when we get the Toll Brothers results. You said that a lot of these home builders are offering rates of 5 and 5.5% to extend their own mortgages to buyers of their homes. Is this essentially the effective rate in the new home sales market, since the other existing homes aren't really moving? Is this basically what's happening, that no one's paying that 7.1235% yield on the 30-year mortgage? No one's actually paying that who's coming into the market right now.
Yeah, so what we've heard from the builders is that a majority of their buyers are leveraging their national rate buy-down programs. And you're right, they're not paying what we're seeing quoted at the market level. That being said, if you look at where rates are now, you know, we checked before we came on this morning, we're at 7.5%. I think the last time we talked last week, we were at 7.25%, and we're up more than 100 basis points since the beginning of April. So while people coming into the new home market are getting a lower rate, that rate too is going to go higher. And I think the concern for people investing in the home building space is going to be at what point the buyers start to balk and at what point the builders have to kind of lever back up on their use of incentives to keep traffic moving. Because we saw from the latest data from the NAHB that when rates rose, traffic fell pretty sharply. So we think that if rates do sustain at these levels, we're going to see that use of sales incentives come back a little more forcefully.
Just real quick here before we get to our next guest, because this really is the topic of the morning as we see yields go to the highs going back 16 years. How long are the lags? Are we starting to see yields bleed into the housing market in a more concrete way that give you conviction that we're just seeing the start of it rather than already having seen the worst of it?
You know, I mean, we've seen a lot of pain in the housing market, particularly in the second half of last year. But we haven't seen the recovery in the existing home market, and that has to do with the fact that rates are so elevated. You know, we have seen a disproportionate benefit, as we mentioned, in the new home market. But broadly speaking, the fact that rates are still elevated doesn't give consumers a whole lot of confidence. And the fact that, you know, we could be heading even higher from here, from 7.5 closer to 8, I think that continues to pressure sales volumes through the remainder of this year and into next year.
Absolutely crazy, right? I mean, it's just, this is how it goes. They have made it so that they're holding on to everything. And unfortunately, because of that, you know, everything is at pretty much a standstill. It's tough out there. It's just tough, you know. As you can see, what has been going on and how that generation has been doing things has put us in a critical spot. But at the end of the day, right? At the end of the day, wasn't that the American dream? What they're doing, what they did, what they're doing today. That was the American dream. So even though we are in a housing crisis, and the interest rates are way, way, way too high. Now, it did shock me that, you know, not as many people are paying that 7%, which is good. But there's also a program to reduce those rates. So that's something that I learned. I guess, you know, even when I was looking for a new house, my real estate agent did tell me, if you buy today and your interest rate is 7-something, whatever it is, he said that there was a thing where within 3 years, if the interest rate falls, you would pay nothing to refinance at that new interest rate. So there are incentives out there to buy a home today, and if the rate drops, you might be able to change your rate for free. Because normally to refinance, get a lower interest rate, you have to pay all your closing costs again. You have to have your inspections again. You basically have to do everything that you did when you initially bought the house. So that does deter people because you don't know how the inspection is going to go sometimes, you know. If you have a different inspector than the one that came through your house when you bought your house, sometimes they're a little bit more of a stick in the mud than the person that was just running it through and get you in here, right? Things get hidden. You don't find out everything on the first home inspection. And the last thing you want to do is jeopardize what you have with another home inspection. So at the end of the day, even though the boomers have done this to us, and they continue doing it, and the interest rates are too crazy, and the banks are insane, and everything else, I do believe that someday I will be able to buy a second house. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it before the time I hit 50 like I wanted, but maybe by the time I hit 60, I'll be able to do it. Who knows? Who knows? This is a crazy world we live in, but nobody should be stuck living with their parents, you know? Should be able to go out and buy a house. You got to be able to do it. So Florida woman sues Hershey for $5 million, says Reese's candies don't have carved designs. I mean, what are we fucking talking about here? What is this? So stupid.
Florida woman has filed a class action lawsuit against the Hershey company for false advertising.
Now, this one has us shaking our heads.
Okay, good.
She wants $5 million. Curious what you think. Her name is Cynthia Kelly. She was upset when the Reese's peanut butter cup pumpkin, I should say peanut butter pumpkin she bought, did not have the eyes and nose cutouts as seen on the wrapping paper you see there. According to Kelly, Hershey misled consumers with faceless chocolate pumpkins. Hershey says the company can't comment on pending cases.
Yeah, because it's fucking stupid. Yeah, because it's so stupid. Oh my God. Are you serious? You crazy person, you. I mean, what are we even talking about here? This is the other side of the spectrum here. People have way too much fucking time on their hands now. They're getting OnlyFans rich and TikTok rich, and all this stuff is happening, right? We've opened up all these new avenues for people to make money from home. And now we've given you more time to complain about stupid shit. What is going on with the world today when someone can file a lawsuit for $5 million? Because there wasn't a pumpkin face on my Reese's peanut butter pumpkin cup. What? Even the design on the package. You wouldn't be able to do that on the actual cup anyways, because if you bit into it, all the peanut butter would squeeze out of it. It's not like it was an icing drawn face. It was cut out of the chocolate, exposing the peanut butter. So why would you think that they would do that? All the other designs, the eggs and stuff like that, they're like drawn lines or they're etched in the chocolate. It doesn't expose the peanut butter. This picture shows the smiley face and the eyes and the exposed peanut butter underneath it. There's no way you actually thought that they were going to do that. This is retarded. I'm sorry. I think this is so retarded. I don't even care anymore. This is so stupid. So stupid. This is worse than the fucking woman who spilled the coffee on her lap at McDonald's and won the lawsuit because her coffee was too hot, which we thought was just the craziest lawsuit we ever heard of. But that's the one that started every lawsuit that you've heard of today. And they just keep getting crazier and crazier. And now, well, this lady wanted her pumpkin cups to look like pumpkins. Find something better to do. Find something better to do. Jesus Christ. Fake robberies, including four in Massachusetts at center of alleged immigration visa conspiracy.
New York City men are charged in connection with an elaborate visa fraud conspiracy.
Really?
They're accused of staging fake robberies, and Jessica, several happened right here in Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's right. The defendants' names are Rampai Patel and Balwinder Singh, and they're accused of staging the armed robbery so the victims could apply for Advantage immigration benefits. So the alleged crimes happened in at least 8 fast food, convenience, and liquor stores across the country, including Richdale Food Shops in Hingham and Michael's Wine and Spirits in Weymouth. Federal prosecutors say the robber would threaten the clerk with an apparent firearm, take cash, then run off. The clerk, who prosecutors say who was in on the whole thing, would then wait a few minutes before calling police. The clerk would then claim they were the target of a violent crime, allowing them to apply for a U visa. It's only available to immigrants who have suffered abuse and who have been helpful to law enforcement. Court documents show the other local stores involved are Yogi's Liquors in Marshfield and Jimmy's Market and Liquors in Randolph. The clerks involved are alleged to have each paid Patel $10,000 to participate in the scheme so they could get the visa. In turn, Patel allegedly paid the store owners up to $2,000.
I mean, this is just a wacky, wacky world we are living in today. And you know what? I'm so happy to be part of it because it would, you know, what else am I going to talk about? I mean, this world doesn't stop surprising me over and over and over again. But I hope everybody out there is having a great start to the new year. I hope your resolutions or your goals are met or you're trying to meet them. Let's make this an awesome 2024. But I just want to thank everybody out there. To all my subscribers and to all the new subscribers, thank you so much. And of course, if you're new and dropping by, checking it out, maybe you got sent the link tree, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Of course, if you want your opportunity to be on the podcast or tell your story, talkin with Topher at gmail.com. Remember to send an audio, video, or type it out. But again, you got to send it over to the official email, talkinwithtopher@gmail.com. And of course, don't forget about the link tree. It's in the description below the video. Go ahead and click that. It's going to give you access to everything TWT. It's just that easy. And of course, it's just that easy to share the podcast now. Go ahead, copy that and share it with everybody you know. Help me make the podcast bigger. And of course, on that note, I hope everybody out there enjoys their Thursday. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. And as always, I will talk to you later.